Amen. And that video is very important this morning, so I'm going to ask you to have an ear to hear. I'm going to do something I don't normally do because I believe this message is so important. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning, and we're going to pray. And we're going to settle ourselves to listen and to receive what God wants to speak to us today. Because I believe there's more than one person here today that needs to hear this message. It may not be on a great level of things you're facing, but it is things you've faced before that are hindering you now. Some of you are in the middle of something right now and you need this word. And others of you need some things, some tools and some truths, so that when things do come in the future, you will not be in fear. And you will not be moved. So let's pray. Father, I come to you now in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, that your train through worship is now filling this place. As we come and worship you, your presence is here because your church is here. The Holy Spirit is here. And I'm praying right now, Father, petitioning you right now from this platform, that every ear will hear what the Spirit of the living God has to say today. So, Father, I yield myself to be disconnected from anything that would be of me, and that I follow what you've instructed me to bring today. And, Father, that it will be clear in each and every person's ears for them what it is that they're to receive from this message. There is not a sermon that there isn't something for each of us. Father, I thank you that you're feeding us today, that your church will arise and defeat the enemy in every corner. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. In part one of Battles and Miracles, Pastor Rochelle released a very powerful message on receiving your miracle. If you've not listened to that message yet, you need to go listen to it and you need to go after your miracle. A powerful message on receiving your miracle. Last Sunday, I uncovered and unpacked a sermon on defeating and winning the battle over yourself. If you haven't heard that message yet, you need to go listen to it. Well, I don't want to hear about myself. No, you need to hear about yourself so that you can fulfill the destiny of God in your life. You need to go listen to part two. Today in part three, I'm going to be addressing winning the battle over the unexpected. Winning the battle over what you cannot see coming. The unexpected. We're going to learn today. We're going to get some truths and some tools in our back pocket to help us when the unexpected comes. When life interrupts your destiny. Let me say it another way. When your plans and the unexpected meet at the same time. So it's very important that we have an ear to hear today. It's very important that we understand that God filled His Word with truths that we can put in our back pocket when we need it the most. It's an old term about, hey, you need to take this. You ever told somebody, let me share this with you, put it in your back pocket for when you need it. Well, you're going to hear some truths that you need to put in your back pocket for when you need it. Some of you, it's never even going to make it to your back pocket. You're going to use it today. So it's important that we have an ear to hear. Why? So that I don't lose my way when the unexpected unravels my plans. When it unravels my plans. You're sitting here today, some of you have personal plans, some of you have family plans, some of you have friend plans. You're trying to plan out people's future. You want them to live and be a certain way. You've got plans, right? You got ways you want to live. There's things you want to touch. And the unexpected will come and begin to unravel your plans. So I'm going to give you some truths to put in your back pocket that will help you today. And let's begin with watching this movie clip.
Now, you listen to me. We all have a destiny. Nothing just happens. It's all part of a plan. I should have died out there with my men. But now, I'm nothing but a cripple, a legless freak. Look at me. You see that? Do you know what it's like not to be able to use your legs?
Yes, sir, I do.
Did you hear what I said? You cheated me. I had a destiny. I was supposed to die in the field with honor. That was my destiny. And you cheated me out of it.
Do you understand what I'm saying, Gump? This wasn't supposed to happen. Not to me. I had a destiny. I was Lieutenant Dan Taylor.
You still, Lieutenant Dan.
Look at me. What am I gonna do now? What am I gonna do now?
Lieutenant Dan believes that Forrest has cheated him of his destiny. I mean, for goodness sakes, he's Lieutenant Dan. In the early part of the movie, he shares the history of his family. They've all died in battle with honor. He believes his destiny has been cheated from him through Forrest, who saved his life because he was supposed to die with honor on the battlefield. Now he's questioning, what do I do now? What do I do? That was my destiny. You robbed me of my destiny. What do I do now? Forrest interrupted his destiny. Now he's questioning again, what am I supposed to do from here? And then he makes the common human mistake, and I call it a mistake. He begins to blame Forrest. He begins to point the finger. We may point it at a person or persons, or we point our finger at the issues. And when we begin to do that, we have just now entered the void. Because life just interrupted my plans. Life got in the way of my plans for my kids, for my job, for my community, for myself. And we begin to point the finger and we enter the void. And I know all about the void. We enter the void. And once we enter the void, then the deceiver, Satan, will come like a tsunami and take your feet out from under you and try to drown you in the void. And that's what's happening to Lieutenant Dan. And I'm going to give you the first of a back pocket truth that you need to have that I have been preaching now for a year and a half, and it's found in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. When you find that life has unraveled your plans, you need to run to, not point the finger at, run to Proverbs 3, 5, and remind yourself, trust in the Lord with all your heart. I say it again, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. We get in the void and we point and we dive down into the wrong places. This is a pocket truth you need to hang on to. You need to post it somewhere. You say, I'm not going through anything right now. Well, post it somewhere and be ready. Lieutenant Dan is headed down a bad road, a really bad road, a road of anger, resentment, bitterness. Why? Because he feels like he's been cheated of his destiny. He feels like his plans were robbed from him. I feel cheated. God, where were you? And he's experiencing the same thing that we experience. And why do we experience what Lieutenant Dan is experiencing? Because Lieutenant Dan is experiencing this reality. He's afraid of an uncertain future that was not part of the plan. An uncertain future that wasn't part of the plan. And the enemy, the deceiver, will get you to believing that it's gone and that God has forgotten you and left you and he's not doing anything for you and he won't fix this or work it out. Because you had it all worked out. You had it figured out. You knew what your destiny was. You've been working hard. You've been spending hours telling people at work what the destiny of the workplace is, or telling your kids and who else you've been speaking to, maybe speaking to yourself in the mirror, and all of a sudden life unravels your plans. And you find yourself in the void. And the next thing you experience is the fear, and we're not to have fear, we're to have faith that my God will turn this around. And we get into the fear of the unknown, because I want everything up here, all my ducks in a row where I can see it really, really well. You know, it takes faith to walk out there. Faith is an adventure. And an adventure, you got to take the risk to step out and let God guide you through the void. Or the enemy will try to destroy you. We experience the same thing Lieutenant Dan did. We're afraid of an uncertain future. We're afraid of that. Because it's not part of the plan. Imagine for a moment Mary, the mother of Jesus. I'll guarantee you, growing up as a little girl, what happened to her was not part of the plan. This young lady had a history of the way they were supposed to live their life. She had her plan. Her family had a plan. She had her destiny figured out. And it got interrupted. Now she finds herself pregnant, not married. And if she lived in our world today, she would be strongly encouraged to give up the baby or to abort the baby. Go ahead and finish high school. Go on to college. And fulfill your destiny. The plans of your life. What you have laid out. And life got interrupted. Moses. My goodness. Moses saved from the river. Moses raised in luxury, money, influence, power, finds himself fleeing for his life. I'm sure that was not part of the plan. Growing up in the house of Pharaoh. And he finds himself herding sheep for 40 years. You go from all of that to herding sheep, would you think that somewhere along the way you got forgotten? And what about Joseph? He gets sold into slavery. Not only that, then he gets thrown into prison. And if you go back and read his life, he thought he had his destiny figured out. What the plan was for his life. But life interrupted his plans. I love the scripture says nothing's new under the sun. You can go anywhere in the Word of God and find that somebody is facing what you're facing. And God will show you the way out through His Word. Let me give you another back pocket truth, Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. Guess what? You are called according to His purpose. And whatever's going on, God will turn it around. God will fix it. God is bigger than the unraveling. You got to choose to trust Him. And quit trying to fix it. Hello. There's a powerful moment in this clip. And I'm going to read from the dialogue and make some points here. In the clip, Lieutenant Dan says, "I was supposed to be Lieutenant Dan Taylor." What did that mean? I'm supposed to die on that battlefield with honor. I'm supposed to be Lieutenant Dan Taylor. Don't you get it, Forrest? What am I going to do now? And I love Forrest's response, "You still, Lieutenant Dan. You still, Lieutenant Dan." Here's a pocket truth for you today, a back pocket truth. Whenever our plans change, we are still ourselves and God is still with us. You're still you. You still have a destiny. You still have a purpose. God still has plans. And He has plans for your plans. Another back pocket truth this morning, couldn't go without telling you this, and I'm going to share more and drill deeper in it. The change may produce a bit different you, but you're still Lieutenant Dan. Just like Lieutenant Dan, you've had your feet knocked out from under you, but God is still with you. The tsunami has come, but God is in the middle of the tsunami. You're Lieutenant Dan. You don't know what to do, but God knows what to do. Trust Him. And let me put it even further out there. I love when He said, "Forrest, you know what it's like not to have your legs? Not be able to do?" Yeah. You know what we need to be doing? Now, I know I'm fixing to step on a lot of toes right here, but it's okay. Instead of running to Facebook, we ought to be running to somebody who's already been there and done that and who can help me and encourage my faith and let me walk with them. Who gets it? Who's had the miracle? Come on. He had experienced a miracle. And throughout the movie, we're going to find that Lieutenant Dan's destiny is going to happen in a different way, and he's going to be excited about what's coming. Forrest always reminds me of why I am here, for one of my purposes is to never not share my stories of Jesus because others need to hear them. The church is where we should be running to, not away from, when we're facing stuff. Come on now. Should be running to each other, not away from each other. That was free. That wasn't even part of it. Many of you have heard the story about when Rochelle and I tried to plant a church in Jonesboro, Arkansas. A lot of you have not. Some of you have heard some of the deep things. Some of you have not heard anything on the deep side. We sold our house because we didn't know if anybody would help us. So we're going to use all the money in our savings and the sale of our house. We rent a house. Made a deal with the company that was handling it that we would just lose our deposit if things started happening more quickly, and we had to move before we ended the contract. Things started moving quickly. We're making for over 6 months, almost 7 months, we're driving back and forth to Jonesboro, Arkansas, 8.5 hours one way regularly. to prepare to do a church plant. There was a few people that were investing in the church plant, but it was mostly the money Rochelle and I had saved and the sale from our house. We're making this trip. Now we've signed a contract on a house. We're supposed to move in and close in 30 days. And the whole church plant falls apart over one weekend. Completely disintegrates before our eyes. The tsunami had come. We knew what our destiny was. We knew what city we were supposed to be in. Come on. For goodness sake, we've been driving 8.5 hours one way. That's how much we believed in it. Put down on the house, did all the earnest money, did all those things, man. We knew what our destiny was. And overnight, the whole thing came crashing down. We come back, won't even hold back reality. I was trying not to be angry. I don't think I was doing a real good job of that. I was disappointed. I was fighting, not being resentful. After all we'd been through, now we find ourselves still in a rent house. We don't have any money. We spent most of our money on that church, trying to plant that church. We have just enough money left over to move and buy a few things. And in the church's part of it all we had was $1,200 left. Because we've been spending money trying to plant a church. And we come back and we entered the void. I'll never forget the night when I said, God, I'm walking through it all. I said, man, here's all these things. We had all these confirmations. Anybody been there? What are you doing? Do you not love me anymore? What sin did I commit? No, what sin does someone else commit? And I come back and I start pointing fingers at the issues. And I begin to enter the void of where the enemy wants to drown me and destroy me. And I'll never forget the night when I said, that's why I love this movie so much. Never came to my mind when I did this. I said, God, I thought I was a church planter. I mean, we wanted to plant a church when I was 41. Rochelle was 40. You delayed us 9 years. I thought we were church planters. And here's what he said, just like Forrest did. He said, you're still a church planter. It just won't be in Jonesboro. Just won't be in Jonesboro. Let me give you a pocket truth. Back pocket truth. I got 3 stars by this one because it's so important. When we do what we believe God wants us to do, we need to leave the results and the outcome to Him. We need to leave it to Him. I had no clue what we were going to do. Rochelle didn't have any clue what we were going to do. But Rochelle's always got faith for everybody. And she's talking it up. We're going to be okay. I started just sitting back and saying, you know what? I'm going to share some things I learned during this time. You're about to hear what I learned out of all of that I've never shared. So you need to have an ear to hear. Learned a lot during that season of what I want to share with you. One of the first verses that came to me right after God said, you are still a church planter. You're just not going to plant in Jonesboro. But I will guide you. And Rochelle and I tried North Dallas. We tried Carrollton, Flowers Mound. I mean, we were just seeking God, trying to find out where we were supposed to go. We wanted to plant out of state, and God brings us over the hill to Mansfield. Psalms 118:6 says, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. You do not. Let me say it this way. You're not to ever stay in the void. You may find yourself in the void, but you need to run to the Word of God and begin to get yourself out of the void, because God is with you. He is for you. And you need to start resisting the fear of the future you cannot see. And trust God. Trust God that He's got this. He's got this. But it's not my plan. Oh, is that the problem? I'll never forget. I said, but God, this wasn't the plan. He said, well, finally, you're going to start doing my plan. Guess whose plan's the best plan? His plans are better than our plans. Matter of fact, He can work out things that we can't work out, and we're so busy trying to fix stuff, and God's just stepping back going, I wish you'd stop so I could fix this. What have I learned? Truths I have learned. Number one, trust God in the void. You know why you need to trust God in the void? Because there's a redirect coming. A God-ordained redirect. But what if it doesn't look like what I had envisioned? Doesn't matter. If God's got His hand on it, it's good. We were going to be the first church plant in Jonesboro, Arkansas in 20 years. The sky was the limit, we thought, in reaching lost people and unchurched and dechurched people. We envisioned so much. Even the people we were talking to envisioned this great thing happening. And God sends us to Mansfield, where there were four church plants that had just happened and four more were about to start. God, this wasn't part of the plan, but it was a part of God's plan. Are you with me? A redirect was coming. And here's the thing about a redirect. It will carry you to God appointments. There will be greater blessings than the original plan that you had or what you thought was the destiny. But it doesn't look the same. It doesn't matter. When I look out here, I see the blessing. When I close my eyes, I see all the people who have come through here and I see the blessing. Can you see? By faith, that it may not be the same. It may not even look the same. It may never look the same. But when God's in it, it will be a blessing to your life. It will be a blessing to your life. It'll be full of blessings. Lieutenant Dan was about to experience that throughout the movie. You see the transition beginning. And then at the end of the movie, you see Lieutenant Dan walking in the fullness of his new destiny. Wasn't the plan. But God's plan was better. Now he's happy and he thanks Forrest. He goes from blaming Forrest to thanking Forrest. I went from blaming what happened in Jonesboro to thanking God for Jonesboro to make me the man I needed to be for what we're doing today. Remember what I said earlier? Maybe you'll become a bit different you, but you're still you. But you're still you. Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. In the end, God will have His way. If the tsunami comes, God will still have His way. And He will produce the fruit in your life. And you will do something amazing. He will bring to your life a divine redirect. And He will fulfill all the purposes that He told you were going to do in your life. It may be just a bit different, but you will fulfill it. Anybody getting anything out of this yet this morning? Here's what I've learned. I've learned to live my life with an open heart and open hands. An open heart and open hands when interruptions come my way. You have to live your life with an open heart and open hands when the interruptions come your way. What does that mean? That means I'm putting my life in God's hands. And I'm removing my control. I'm removing my control. But Pastor, you don't understand. I've got to do this, and you just don't understand. You don't know what's going on. I said, I do understand, and you need to let go. I do understand. Because in the opening moments of everything falling apart in Jonesboro, I was desperately trying to put it all back together. And that wasn't going to work. I had to take my hands off of it and let God bring a divine redirect. God. I've learned that you have to wait. We sing a song here, it's in the waiting. I know all of you get excited while you're singing it, but you know what? We need to be living it. It's in the waiting. I've learned to wait and not give up, because God is for me, not against me. None of this looks, didn't in the theater for sure, like what I saw in Jonesboro. But you know what's cool about all this? It's God's will for my life. Can we let go? Because we let go, God will begin to unfold a redirect that will bring blessings in your life you would have never had any other way. But you got to let go. See, we get into the void and we start reaching back, trying to. What we need to do is just let go, trust God, get myself out of the void, and get my face looking in the direction of seeking what's God got for me, and let's go on the journey and find it. Are you with me? Let's go find it. That's what Rochelle and I did. We just started going, trying to find it. And then God gives me a spiritual dream one night about a man that I knew, and he begins to show me what this man's doing in the dream. And I thought, why in the world is he doing all that in the dream? This makes no sense, because he doesn't give a rip about this kind of stuff. And within 2 weeks, God used that man to open the doors for us to come to Mansfield. But see, if I'd have stayed in the void and kept trying to fix stuff, I would have never connected with the redirect and what God had for us. Luke chapter 1 verse 37 says, "For nothing will be impossible with God." What's the second thing I've learned? Breathe. Breathe. Quit holding your breath. Breathe. Quit holding your breath for the next thing to fall. What's next? Just one thing after another. Breathe. And trust God. Church plant failed. Wait a minute. We just bought a house. You don't get out of those contracts. Breathe. Rochelle, we're going to have to go ahead and move to Jonesboro. I don't know if Walmart will hire me. I've just been doing this. I've been doing this for 25 years. They're not going to hire me. Breathe. The whole thing's falling apart. We don't know anybody up there anymore. It'll just be us and Adri. And she may come back. Breathe. We don't have any money. Breathe. And trust God. Deuteronomy chapter 31 verse 6 says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be in dread of them." And what was them? The house, the money, the job. Are y'all with me? But it was cool. The back porch deer walked up in the backyard. That could have been comforting, but I don't know. "For it is the Lord your God who goes with you, and he will not leave you or forsake you." He never left us. He never forsaked us during the whole process. He was always with us. And what the enemy wanted to do to drown us and destroy us, God brought a divine redirect and brought joy and peace and excitement and the joy of looking out here and seeing changed lives. We need to remind ourselves, okay, pinch yourself, make sure you're awake on this one. We need to remind ourselves that we can't always see the big picture. But God is faithful. And from this place, you need to breathe in the Word of God with vigor. And you need to breathe out control. And rest in the fact that God will fix this. A back pocket truth for you again today. There are times you must accept you're simply not in control. Well, I already know that. Well, then stop. You're not in control. When are we going to let God do things His way and in His time? Got to let God do things. There's things all around Rochelle and I, you know, we're just like, okay, God. Rochelle, you want to go get a hamburger? Because God's the only one to take care of that. Are y'all with me? But you can get in the void of it, start pointing fingers, and a tsunami will come and knock your feet right out from under you. You need to reframe the situation. How do I reframe it, Pastor? Why don't you go outside and say, I don't care what's going on, but something bigger and better is on its way. That's a faith statement. Come on, we're supposed to speak faith, right? If my God is bigger, then something bigger is coming. And guess what? I can't measure that on the size of a church or the size of a building. I measure it on the size of the lives that have been changed. Are you with me? So, I need to remind myself that God is for me. I need to take a moment, push the pause button, and take a deep breath. And remind myself of the truth. God is for me. Number three, receive the redirect. When that redirect first started, I was trying to find reasons that it wouldn't work. Come on. I'm just being honest with you. I'm walking this out. I'm like, Mansfield, that's where the cowbell is. No, it's not. There's a school there now. I haven't been to Mansfield in 25 years. God, you're sending me to a cowboy town? I thought we were supposed to be close to a couple of colleges. I thought we were supposed to be in a city that had 5 high schools. Hello. I didn't know that Mansfield had all that. We're driving around over here and we're going, this is Mansfield? I thought this was Arlington. This is Mansfield? I thought this was Grand Prairie. This is Mansfield? Receive. I say it again, receive the redirect. The moment that I received the redirect was the moment that God began to do one miracle after another, after another, after another. Anybody in the mood for a miracle? Receive the redirect. You need to change how you walk your life. You need to live it with open hands and an open heart. And trust God. You need to release your life completely into His hands. When you find that life has interrupted your plans and it's beginning to unravel, you need to just walk outside and go, God, I release it. My heart is open, my hands are open. What do you want to do next? And the enemy's like, darn. And you just shut down the tsunami. And you dive into the Word of God, and God will take care of you. We need to release our lives into the redirect because you're about to walk into divine appointments and divine blessings. And don't let the deceiver tell you this doesn't look the same. No, it will not look the same, but it will bring the same blessings if you'll accept the redirect. First Peter 5:7 says, casting all your cares, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all, on Him, for He cares about you with deepest affection and watches over you very carefully. You know, the Holy Spirit is constantly nudging, and I know He is. He's nudging me, He's nudging you. He's constantly nudging us to let go and give God full control of our lives, of our families, of our jobs, of our communities. And then let Him guide us and direct us on what we're to do, our part, and then let God do His part. And maybe your part is to just sit there with a smile on your face and not worry. And let God fix it. The Holy Spirit wants us to give ourselves completely over to Him. Another pocket truth, some of the best gifts come through the unexpected. Blessings you never imagined would happen are going to happen in the redirect. These interruptions become divine appointments and divine blessings. They will shape you, they will transform you, and they will bless you. But if you resist and fight and constantly have to be in control, you will never be shaped and transformed into the person Jesus Christ needs you to be. I could not become the pastor God wanted me to be if I had not let what happened in Jonesboro shape me, transform me, and bless me into His divine purpose for my life. Anybody with me so far? My final statement today is this. God has been so good to Rochelle and me since the redirect. He has done amazing things in our life, and He continues to surprise us. God will guide you through your redirect and land you exactly where He wants you to be. Don't lose faith. Don't give up. I want you to have the courage right now, this moment. If you feel like you're in a void, get down here right now. You feel like you're in a void, come down here. If you know family members that are in a void, come down here and stand for them. You know they're in a void. You know things have happened and they're in a void. This morning, you say, I've been through something, but I want to make sure that I don't lose connection with the redirect. I want to see it completely carried out in my life. You need to get up and come down here right now. You may be in the middle of walking it out. Someone encouraged you to come down. It is very important this morning that we receive God's redirect. It's very important that if we're standing for someone, what we are saying is, in a way, we are saying, God, I'm letting go, and I'm going to let You have Your way. Would y'all all come down a little bit closer just so they just can get in? So they can move to a new place in God. Now, for all of you who didn't come down, it's very important that you don't walk out of here and forget what I said. Why, Pastor? Because let me tell you something. Life will come at you at 225 miles an hour. And I gave you truths to overcome the interruptions. I gave you truths to help you defeat the tsunami that would want to take you out and drown you. So if you didn't come down here, then you're responsible for the information you have that when life interrupts your life, that you're not going to do what you normally do. Are you with me? It's important. That's instructions for you. Now for you down here, are you ready to receive? Are you ready? Like I call crossing over the threshold from me to Him and living out what God has for me and for my family, for my school, for my work, whatever that is. So I'm going to ask you right now to just open your arms up before God and say, Father, I have open hands. I have an open heart to receive for myself and for those I'm standing for right now. That God, you will produce a divine redirect. And in the end, what I dreamed of, what I desired, will still be. It just may happen in a different way, on a different plane, but it will be. I thank you, Father, for transforming me, shaping me to be who you need me to be. I thank you, Father, in advance for the blessings that shall be mine. The blessings that shall be the person I'm standing for them, in Jesus' name. And now, Father, we do not resist the redirect. We receive the redirect. Father, where I have pointed fingers, I ask your forgiveness, and I thank you I am forgiven. Father, where I've resisted, God, I now yield. And I thank you for your grace to walk this out. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may go back to your seats.